Hi there. Welcome to another exciting edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
You hesitated for a bit.
I've been coming up. I've been thinking of first names, but I can't think of the last names. And it comes to me 10 minutes later. So I'm not quite that bad. But yeah. All
right. No, I was making a joke on some Twitter post or something. Somebody was making reference to climate change versus global warming. And I say, well, I don't know what the cultural arbiters are demanding we have to say these days. And I signed it Robert Nuclear Winters. Remember when you used to talk about nuclear winter?
I think you're right. It's climate change. You don't hear global warming. Well, you hear both. I don't know.
Well, I mean, because it was always an oddity, because what happens if climate change causes it to be very cold on an otherwise warm day? Or
The word warming is not quite
accurate. It assumes something which isn't always the case. Yeah.
So basically, we're all in trouble. I mean, I will say that right now, but we're not.
I'm doing fine.
Live long enough.
Thank
well,
you.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, first thing I wanted to sort of kick off program tonight with is just an acknowledgement of the fact, and I'll throw up a little graphic here in a second too, is that we haven't talked in the last couple of programs so much about COVID-19 and the pandemic. Yeah. And the reason is because things have been heading in such a wonderfully good direction.
In our city.
In our city, but the thing is, mainly in our country, we are now over 50% vaccination in this country, which is amazing to me, you know, that you can actually pull that off. And everything seems to be working very effectively. There was one reported coronavirus infection today. Zero yesterday. Actually, and usually there's actually zero today. It's just that oftentimes when you see an increase of one, it's because they're backdating. They're filling in the data.
But doesn't that mean someone has to get tested in order to come up with that?
Yeah, and it's true that there's a somewhat less testing going on now. Yeah. But it's
still
really
good.
Something.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know, and I've been getting some solace over the past year in, you know, because I'm a math geeky kind of guy and watching the graphs. And you know, when they were like taking off, I was like, oh no, you know, and when they were easing off.
All right, show us the graphs, because I have a question about those graphs.
Yeah. So, remember, once upon a time we used to hear about what is it called, flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Well, we are indeed flattening the curve at long last. And each day, every few days, I'll actually change the scale a little bit here. So this is just about 400.
But clarify the dates here. This starts April 15th.
Yeah, I mean, there's a much longer version, which I'll show in a second.
Right, because that to me is more telling in a way.
But this is basically more like the last, you know, couple months worth, just to kind of see what the general pattern recently has been. Uh-huh. And it is an absolutely clear flattening of the curve. I mean, it is almost leveling right now. Like,
right, but that's only for the past, if you can see it, it really didn't start flattening till May.
7th. Right, so when you look at 7-day averages over from the very beginning of
this,
like
is the very, March this is what strikes me is that you had in April of 20, and then you go across to just, all right, December, it was equal to April, and then it went way up. Just in January.
There was the period of the great fear of April of 2020. It's going to peak at April 15th. And, you know,
that's
and then after that.
And then it went way.
Right. And it went down and we kind of passed through the summer all nice. And it was always there, but it didn't go away. And then we had the worst of it, really, which was fall into winter.
Well, yeah,
especially indoor. Winter.
But look at these dips. What accounted for these dips and then up again, which is interesting, I think.
You know, good question.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, the holidays.
I think, you know, there are different points of view about it, but I think the emergence of some of the variants is what caused the sort of the extra wave toward the end.
February.
And then it's just been sinking like a stone. Now, the big difference between it's sinking like a stone right now and when it's sunk like a stone.
Right. What's the difference?
The thing is that now
we're
over
vaccinated.
Half of Americans are vaccinated and it's even higher rate in Cambridge, which means the likelihood of a resurgence at the end of the summer is greatly, greatly diminished, if not eradicated.
Right. However, as I just heard today, 9 countries in the world have used 75% of the vaccines. And until we get the vaccines to all of these other countries, we're not out of the woods. I mean, yes, because we can be more protected if somebody comes here, but
right,
still.
Right. By the way, just the sort of the last couple of months, really since beginning of February, if you just stretch that out just to see the general pattern, we're down to a current 7-day average of 1.6.
Oh, wow. This is an interesting fabulous. This goes from February. Wow.
Yeah. So you can kind of see how rapidly diminishing things are.
Well, I'm happy about it. I can't say that I don't know. Have you been inside? Well, you never went out to eat. I don't think you ever did anyway.
No, I've been out.
Well, you go to a bar. Have you been to a bar and had a drink?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. Yeah.
Recently?
Okay. Not too recently, but yeah.
Well,
not long ago,
you couldn't have been a while ago because you couldn't go to a bar and have a drink.
I know. Well, I went to outdoor patios and things.
That I'm saying indoors at a bar.
All right. Look. All right. So Patrick bought me a drink or two at his bar.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. I still want to. I know. I want to get to the dial of the outdoor thing. I love that.
So anyway, it's been delightful seeing people's faces. It has been delightful seeing the activity in places like Central Square. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know. Yep. I mean, it's just you can't beat it. You know.
That's a good point.
And people, when people came, I stored some stuff for a person who was moving for the last few days. Yeah. And they came by today to pick up stuff in a pickup truck. And, just walking in the door, no masks, how you doing? Yeah. Seeing faces. Right. It's really a celebration.
Do you still question whether someone's vaccinated or not? Or you know people, so you know if they are.
I think it's kind of on them. I know I'm vaccinated, so I don't worry.
Right.
And I hope that they understand that my lack of a mask suggests I'm probably vaccinated.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just think it's
there's definitely a change. It's nice. I just...
And what a joy it is to turn on a baseball game and just see all the screaming fans again,
That's true.
It's definitely some things to feel good about,
although I wouldn't say that about the Celtics where you have fans throwing things. And
well, that's a whole other matter. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, that boy.
So, yeah, that's just like crazy stuff.
They're going to lose that playoff anyway. But okay, so let's get back to...
Actually, let me say one other quick thing. Yeah. I'm actually going to share the screen one more time because I told people this because it's sort of funny story. You know, I started writing Cambridge Civic Journal in 1997.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So it's like almost a quarter century. I think it is officially the oldest civic blog in the universe.
I didn't know that. 1997.
Yeah. No, it's I think we got the record. Okay. Anyway, it was interesting how a very dear neighbor of mine passed away in January. Mm-hmm. And I just decided right then and there, since my old 1979 bus was on its way out, that I wanted her car. I wanted to drive her car. And I didn't even know what kind of car it was.
Oh, really?
I said, I don't care. Yeah, I didn't know what kind of car it was.
It was right in the driveway, right by your house.
I never looked at it. And I didn't know what year it was. I didn't know what kind it was. I just said, I want to drive Allison's car.
You wanted her car because it was hers.
I wanted to drive Allison's car. It was that simple, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so just as it works out, so eventually, bought it from the estate, registered it now, and, it's got a Cambridge parking sticker on it now.
Hey.
But the funniest thing, is I realized that it's a 2014 Civic.
Yeah.
And it was actually purchased in Cambridge.
At the Honda Cambridge, probably.
At the Honda Cambridge.
Yeah, Cambridge Honda.
Does it say on the back of my car? Cambridge Civic.
Something just come around and they just make so much. Isn't it great when that happens? Like serendipity.
Yeah. So it's the pure serendipity of it all.
Yeah,
and the fact that it didn't even occur to me until I was,
I know.
Driving the car out and I looked at the back and I went, wait a minute.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty funny, really.
And I feel very honored that I was made your last visit to your dear departed van.
Yes, that's true.
That is in Attleboro.
Yes. So back on the civic front.
All right.
There were a few things definitely to talk about. Yeah. But one thing before getting into any of the what happened recently stuff is just to say that there is one rather significant board, a city board and commission that's looking for members right now.
Oh, right. I saw that.
Yeah. Wow. And that's the planning board.
Who's leaving?
I actually don't know, but I suspect, I have some suspicions.
Okay.
Who is, there are a few members whose terms have expired, but the expiration of a term in Massachusetts does not imply a person leaves the board.
That's true of all of our boards, right? Because people just can reapply and then nothing problem.
Yeah, it's in Massachusetts, I forget what the technical term for it is, but thing is that if you—
No term limits.
well, the thing is you continue to serve after expiration until such time as you are reappointed or someone else has been appointed.
I thought you have to reapply, because I know in the Recycling Advisory Committee—
Not necessarily, no.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, it's really up to the city manager how the manager wants to do it. The manager is the appointing authority, right?
Right, but I thought all the boards operate the same way.
Yeah, so there are a couple of members whose terms are expiring very soon. Mm-hmm. Two, I think, have already expired.
Are these 3-year terms?
They are 5-year terms.
Oh, okay, that's different.
For the planning board.
All right.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, so there are two alternates who I believe have expired, and I think there are two regular members whose terms are ending. I hope both of them continue, actually. So it may well be one or both of the alternates. I really don't know. But anyway, it'll be an interesting statement, I think, about city manager in some respects, because the planning board is such a high profile.
Okay, but stop a second. I'm confused. I thought that if they are interested in continuing, that they have preference over someone applying. No?
No. I mean, I think just as standards and practices.
Okay, but can be chat or whatever. They
I mean, the manager is under no obligation to reappoint anybody.
But he usually does, or they.
They often do. It's just easier. Yeah. And sometimes city staff will basically give their feedback about it. But even that's a kind of a odd practice. Because
I just have the assumption that someone doesn't want to come back. Which
I'm pretty sure that's true. Yeah. But you know, the thing is, the planning board gets thrust into the midst of some of the most controversial things.
Oh, it's
these
ridiculous.
Days, as
oh,
does the Board of Zoning Appeals in some respects.
Right.
So
it's
challenge really, at least from my point of view on the manager, is to, of all the people who might apply, is to appoint somebody who really is a neutral party, basically an adjudicator.
Be hard. I know.
And you know, I mean, I will personally judge the manager.
Yeah.
If the manager chooses to appoint somebody who's sort of activist in their orientation, regardless of which way, that's something that will bother me.
Because then it's going to become like the Supreme Court, which has now become political versus it should be
very
neutral. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think there are some people, I mean, we have in this discussion of possible charter change.
Mm-hmm.
We have a kind of a
which is tomorrow, right? Isn't there that rescheduled charter
meeting?
Yes,
that's right. Hearing midday tomorrow.
11:30.
It's really it's supposed to be a presentation, I believe.
Oh, okay.
About charter review from the Collins.
Was available. I have it downloaded.
Yeah. Now that was a meeting I believe was supposed to happen a week ago.
It was. It was canceled. Because I think there was another meeting right before it. And who knows?
It might have been that, but also, as I pointed out, maybe to the embarrassment of some, and I don't know whether this had any effect on it, is that they had posted that there was a special meeting, but they gave no indication whatsoever as to the call of the meeting.
And they're supposed to do that?
They're supposed to have 48-hour notice for that. So I don't know whether that's why it was.
Yeah, you probably had some influence. Okay, it's at 11:30, and then there's a 2:00 committee meeting on LWIFE, and then there's a 5:30 ordinance meeting. Very busy day tomorrow.
Right. But you know, some of the people who are angling for charter change, I think there's a lot. I'm not happy about the process so far. I'm going to be real clear about that, because it seems to be, maybe because of the pandemic, it's a little in the background. It's not as upfront. I did see some memo from the Collins Center people that said that some of the counselors want longer terms. In other words, they want to be, I would argue, less accountable.
Yeah,
they want to have in 4-year terms rather than 2-year terms. Yeah. They would love to have more authority, more power to do things. So much of what the feedback from the current crop of counselors is it seems to be more toward give us more power and authority.
Right.
And one of the beautiful things really about the current charter has been the insulation between the executive authority of the manager and the policymaking role that the city counselors are supposed to play. Apparently some counselors are not satisfied being policymakers. They want to be able to snap their fingers and just make
And also, you know, if they wanted to change it so completely so that there'd be an elected mayor instead of what we have now, they could get, that means someone could run for mayor that is detrimentally opposed to like the views of of counselors. Who knows? You know, you don't know. A strong mayor is also can be issues.
You can basically have great friction between an elected mayor and the counselors. Right. As sometimes happens in the city of Boston, where the city councils are often kind of afterthoughts, and then the mayor is all powerful, right?
Right.
Unless it happens to be the city council president, who's the mayor.
But I do think their whole setup is—they have a lot of say. I think because there's more of them. There's at wide district. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I kind of find a lot in my perspective. There is a real intertwining of some of the calls for charter change, coupled with some of the dissension
with the recently, city manager, right?
Yeah, why can't we hire our own lawyer?
Municipal broadband, let's get it going.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know really where this whole boat is heading, but any substantial change won't happen until after the municipal election. But it seems like something's being cooked up here. I'm not quite sure what. So,
Okay.
But anyway, I personally am going to look upon the planning board appointment as significant.
Now, does the public have anything to do with that? No.
I mean, other than the fact that the public can apply for it, and I encourage any, level-headed person with some expertise, preferably.
Hopefully some expertise either in law or real. I mean, you have to have some background in design.
Have some architects. I mean, if an architect is leaving, I would hope an architect would come to replace, because I think having making decisions about special permit criteria and design guidelines and things like that, it's helpful to have that kind of expertise on the planning board. If somebody's just there basically, as some of the alternate members have been lately, which are basically just advocates, then I don't really think we need that as much. I think we need adjudicators more so than advocates.
Can an alternate, if an alternate term expired, can they apply to be a full?
Absolutely. And that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
So that's what's sort of going on there.
Yeah.
So maybe we should talk a little bit about what's happened more recently at city council meetings.
Okay, the last one was they had to reschedule it.
It was pretty contentious.
7 hours of public comment, right.
Yeah, I mean, the budget hearings are all done, but for the vote on adoption. And
June 7th, is that right?
I believe so. And there's always the chance that, some of the concerns expressed during the budget hearings might result in a minor amendment or two, or additional funding or some announcement or something prior to a budget vote. By the way, the budget adoption vote, though scheduled for June 7th, doesn't have to take place. It just has to happen before the end of the fiscal year.
I see.
So if somebody wanted to make some sort of stand, supposedly a principal stand for defunding the police or for, we're not going to move here, Mr. Manager, until you give us municipal broadband.
That could happen
There could be some serious grandstanding that could delay it. But I mean, it's in all likelihood, the 5 necessary votes are probably there to at least prove it. And then the yelling and screaming will happen in the weeks to come.
Well, wouldn't they have already done that disagreement at the budget hearings?
For the most part, yeah. But the thing is that budget hearing, that whole process is one of the very rare points in a fiscal year where the councilors have a little extra leverage. And and this is a group that I think wants more authority, more power, more leverage. So I wouldn't be surprised.
And it's an election year. Yeah.
And it's an election year. Exactly. So, I would, I fully expect that it will not be a 9-0 vote on the budget.
Right. Well, that's true.
And we'll just see what happens in a couple of weeks there.
Oh,
and also the manager, if on the municipal broadband thing, I think there may still be, they were putting out an RFP and then I think they had pulled back or whatever for, the feasibility study for municipal broadband. So some of that may still get resolved even before the hearing. We'll see.
I'd like to say something, and maybe you too, about the public comment, the 7 hours of public comment, because I listened to some of it. but I was sort of struck by how many people either were speaking for someone else, or they weren't, had lived in Cambridge, they weren't anymore, or they were from Marblehead. They were from a lot of other groups because a lot of groups had called out their troops. I'm sorry. I mean, first of all, it's a very contentious issue, and I think it should be.
And we're talking about the Gaza resolution here, just to be clear.
Resolution and it didn't more say Gaza. It was more about.
No, there were actually two.
That
wasn't the controversial one.
No, because that's congressional. And I feel like, yes, we do that very often. We take a stand on the legislation that's happening at a federal level, which is where it should be, because it's the administration that has to make some of these changes. This was the Hewlett-Packard and the association, although they, you know, with BDS and all of that political stuff. I just feel it should be, when you see that there's going to be that many, you check, are you a Cambridge resident? I won't go so far as to say you should be a voter, but hey, that's another story. But you should be a Cambridge resident. And then also, how much, I mean, this is a global issue. I just felt like it went off the rails. And I feel like
I agree.
You know, we want so many people, we want to be open to everyone's opinion. This was too much on both sides.
Right.
And so does that sound like Trump? I hate to say that. It's good. I didn't mean that. What I mean. I mean,
no, I think there are
and
many.
You know how I feel. I feel like since the last 50 years, I have felt like it is wrong what's going on in Israel in terms of taking territory. And let's face it, they continue to start it by encroaching on territory that could be a second state. And some people don't want that at all and whatever. But I just feel like there's got to be some decorum here and some protocol of who gets to speak. I don't want someone who lives somewhere else speaking, taking time up when we have so many issues here that we should be addressing.
I agree completely.
I have to get that out.
No, I agree completely. But I think it's kind of part of a growing problem. I see it as a problem, which is that there are now interest groups who are viewing public comment via Zoom, so you can phone it in. You don't actually show up.
Right, to be it's every like, issue that's political, progressive, or whatever affecting everybody.
It's just like a political stage now, and there's every incentive to take national issues and just turn them into, you know, center stage at a city council.
It just wasn't appropriate. And I'm not putting down, the statements were heartfelt. They were, I mean, everything. It just felt like this was not the place.
Wasn't the place.
Not for this particular issue.
Or
policy order. Let's put it right there.
Now, from a political point of view, so let's just say you're a person who's trying to get attention. You're an incumbent councillor, and you want to get more and more attention to appeal to a particular constituency in advance of a municipal election. So what does that mean? Does it mean you're going to basically go scouting around? Let's say, oh, here's a good issue that'll bring out lots of people.
You make it sound very planned like that. I don't think that was that way at all.
No, but I'm just saying is that for subsequent meetings.
The thing is, if you feel
that like getting national press, or newspaper articles, even in the Boston Globe, and how do you want to generate the free, free press coverage? Yeah. Well, basically just, throw some meat to the lions, and you'll have a great controversy and the press will follow it, And I mean, it used to be when we had things at City Hall, you kind of knew something was going when one of the networks would show up with the big TV cameras and show up in the Sullivan Chamber. Yeah. Well, now you don't actually know because you're not going to see any cameras because it's all done in Zoom. But, it's a similar kind of phenomenon that's happening now.
What happened? Now, you might remember this because it was, 25 years ago, more the nuclear disarmament? Didn't Cambridge become famous for it? We had a whole pamphlet. I had one. Larry somebody, right? Remember the name?
Larry Weinstein.
Was it Weinstein? Someone
else. No, Larry Weinstein was with school committee.
Right, it was not Larry Weinstein, it was somebody else.
I know exactly.
It was in Cambridgeport.
I didn't know there was going to be a pop quiz, Judy, so I...
All right, but my point is, didn't that become something really
David Wiley. David Wiley.
That's who it was.
That's right. And so the thing is, that was...
What was that?
Well, the thing is, it was Cambridge as a nuclear, target.
Free zone.
Make it a nuclear free zone. Exactly. And he actually did write some of his political campaign materials that very much centered on that. There was one famous bullseye.
So he ran for the, I didn't realize he was running for the seat.
He was actually a city councilor. Yeah.
I've got to look that up later because I'm thinking of something. Yeah. I don't know why the word Larry sticks right. in my head, but
you know, there is some history. So this isn't a brand new phenomenon. Having a national scale right. issue become right. part of,
okay.
you know, sort of essentially right. political promotion.
No, you're right.
I mean, yeah. in some respects, other than the fact that the defund the police business is happening in so many other places.
We'll go into that more in the next half hour right. because that's exactly right.
Right. If Cambridge makes a big stink about that, then we're just one of 100 cities that are doing it. So the national press aren't necessarily going to come to Cambridge
right.
on that one.
Right, you know? Right, right, right.
So,
right.
Okay. but you know, yeah. but it's. I mean, I'm kind of a fan of the boring stuff, quite honestly. To me, you know, civics is not necessarily all razzmatazz and controversy, whatever. It's basically how do you run a city and make it run well.
Right.
You know, so I pay attention to a lot of the minutiae. It's true. Right. You know, so but there's a different point of view, which is that right. you know, let's sort of go for the, you know, if it bleeds, it leads type of stuff.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and then with social media now and the internet and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
this is our last minute of this segment. So should we talk about what we're gonna say in the next segment?
Mainly, I would love to talk a little bit about some of the other items that were on the agenda. There's not too much to say about the Gaza stuff. You know, it's sort of sitting in. Maybe I'll say a thing or two more, but there were, in addition to the 527 people mm-hmm. who showed up last Monday, there was also the many, many people who were there the week before, prior to the
because it was charter right, which brought out more people. Yeah,
exactly. So so anyway, more to say about that.
Yeah.
And so we'll take a break here for a couple minutes and we'll be back
Cambridge Inside Out. Bye.